Now, if you would turn with me to Psalm 112 for our scripture reading, we're going to be reading the 10 verses of Psalm 112, and then I want to turn to Psalm 1. We'll be looking this morning at the first two verses of Psalm 1. Again, let us hear the Word of God. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in His commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in His house, and His righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteousness. A good man deals graciously and lends. Will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be in everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Then turn with me to Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2. Again, the Word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Thus far, the reading of God's most holy word. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, we would like to think that pretty much any sane person would say yes upon being asked, would you like to be happy? It appears to be a fairly redundant question, although there are some interesting people. But the real question is, what is it that people think will make them happy? There are, of course, the normal answers: money, prestige, being able to do what you want to do, whether it is moral or immoral. Most often, when we think about happiness, we think about something that is event or context driven. That is, if only this would happen, I'd be happy. If only this person would be this way or do this, then I would be happy. In other words, our happiness is dependent upon the situation that we are in. But true happiness is really a state of being. And the psalmist defines true happiness as being a man of God. Now, there are a lot of words that are used in reference to Christians or believers. Sometimes we're referred to as people of faith, people who have convictions, perhaps people who have moral standards, people with hope. We can go on and on. There are a number of negative words that people also use from time to time about believers. But not too often, at least it appears to me that way, not too often do we speak of believers and even believers themselves in terms of people who are happy. In fact, by some, there's even just a little bit of sense of suspicion. If we're happy, we must be doing something we ought not to be doing. It's also true that many believers are, in fact, very unhappy. in their lives. I am convinced it's because they fall into that same trap of seeking happiness as the world does. It's my intention to take an in-depth look at Psalm 1 this morning, beginning with the first two verses. Psalm 1, as you know, is basically an introduction to the Psalter, and it gives two views of life, the man of God, the godly and the ungodly. This morning we want to look at what is the state, what is the condition of the believer as the man of God. When we think about being happy, we are thinking about a condition or a state. So let's see what the psalmist says. Before I move on, though, I want to take a moment to explain something that maybe we need to be reminded of from time to time. The ministry of the Word of God, when God's covenant people are meeting together in public, that is the ministry of Christ. It is Jesus who is speaking to His congregation. Jesus doesn't speak to Himself. Therefore, I use the pronoun you. But when I use the pronoun you, does it mean that I'm just talking to people outside? I'm part of you. And I need to be hearing as well as anybody else does. So keep that in mind. Let me begin by saying that when we talk about this state of being, we're talking about a matter of the heart. In a very real sense, we are dealing with emotions. Though we do criticize the emotionalism of a great deal of American Christianity today, and rightfully so. It is based on nothing. But I must say to you that if you view your relationship with God as being purely an intellectual relationship, to know all the right things and to say all the right things, and that's it, then you do not know God. Before sin, the relationship between God and man was good. In the Garden of Eden, it was pleasant. They enjoyed because man was able to be what God had made him to be in the presence of God. Now the word blessed, which is a word used often in the Psalms, and here a reference to man is used, and it simply means happiness, but happiness in the fullest sense of that word, not just to be giddy about something. But enjoyment due ultimately to the relationship that you have with God. The idea is that man receives happiness and is happy based on that relationship with God. Now we also need to note here the use of the word man. We're not talking about a particular individual. But it is in reference to a person. I realize that that may be politically incorrect in this day and age. But anyway, anyone who is created in the image of God that is a person, the psalmist says, is blessed, is happy, in the fullest sense of the word, filled with joy. And then the psalmist goes on and describes the situation, the implications of what that means. Now clearly the person that the psalmist is describing here is a person who has a relationship with God, who knows God. You need to be very careful here that we properly understand why it is that the man of God is blessed. Sorry, but I'm going to have to do a lot of that to get through this morning with my voice, but... But it says, particularly, if you look at the words, blessed is the man who walks not the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So it's talking about certain things that he does not do or he does. However, we would be very much horribly misinterpreting this psalm if you looked at that and said, well, here's the thing. If you just make sure you keep the law as good as you can, you're going to be happy. If you make sure that you don't ever do anything wrong and do all the right things, that will lead to your happiness. And therefore, happiness is the result, again, of what you're doing. What the psalmist is saying is that the man of God is happy simply or blessed because he is the man of God. And very important, as a man of God, his happiness is expressed then, yes. It comes out in the way he lives his life. Because, first of all, he is the man of God. And therefore, living according to the law of God is pleasant. It's joyful. Maybe a fine distinction there, but it's really an important distinction. Let me put it this way. You cannot decide one day, well, you know, I'm sick of all of this negative stuff in my life. I really would like to be happy, so I'm going to work at it. I'm going to stop doing this and start doing these things, and I'm going to be happy. You know, it's the popular model, 5 steps towards this, 10 steps towards losing weight, or 30 days of going through this sorts of things, and you're going to be happy. That will not bring happiness. Blessedness is being a man of God, knowing Him, having faith in Him, having anointed. And happiness then means, here is how he lives and experiences happiness. And he is happy living this way because he is the man of God. Being blessed is ultimately defined by the psalmist. To look ahead for just a moment, in verse 6, it says, the Lord knows the way of the righteous. Description of a lifestyle, which we will examine in a moment, are important, of course. It is a lifestyle of happiness. But it is a lifestyle that comes out of, first of all, being blessed. The ultimate sense that being known of God. It's a common refrain that you will find throughout the Psalms. Let me point a couple of them out to you. In Psalm 33, verse 12 says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Happiness simply comes from that state, that relationship with God. Happiness is simply comes from, and in the previous psalm, I quoted from Psalm 33, the previous psalm, verse 32, turn to that for just a second, verse 32 describes most basically what is happiness? What is blessedness? What leads to blessedness? Verses, Psalm 32, verse 1 and 2 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no salvation. To be saved by the blood of Christ, to having the saving benefits of Christ's shed blood on the cross. That is the essence. Gets at the heart of blessedness. Psalm 112, which you read earlier, and Psalm 128 reads, blessed is the man who fears the Lord, which simply means who has salvation, who knows God as his Savior. And so when the psalmist introduces the psalms describing the godly and the ungodly, what he begins with here is simply grace. The unearned, the unmerited, free grace of God. The difference in the final analysis, we have all kinds of ways in which we measure people. And ways in which we look at different people and put them in different categories and all kinds of things like that. Ultimately, there are two categories of people. Those who have received the grace of God and those who have not. The difference is what God has done. What God has done. The difference is the relationship that exists between the individual and God because of God. It's exactly what Paul told the Philippian jailer when he asked, what must I do to be saved? And Paul says, believe on Jesus. In other words, there are no 10 steps or 15 steps or trial period or whatever that you need to do. Believe in Jesus. He's done it. There's the blessing. It's not the result of something in life or what you have done. It is the unmerited, undeserved, free grace for which God has found you in your sin and has saved you through the blood of His Son sent to die on a cross. Now keep in mind the use of the word here is one that indicates a result of something. The result is the grace of God. The man of God is blessed. There is an emotional aspect in his relationship with God because the grace of God. The man of God knows that he is but a rebellious sinner who deserves the wrath of God, and yet he has received through the death of the Son of God the covering for his sin. And he responds from the heart. He does not just do what is required, but there's a pull. There's a desire. There's a response, as it says, His delight. His delight is in the thankful response how he lives out his life before God. And now as we take a closer look at the description here of the man of God and how it is that he is blessed, we see a reference to something about how he lives his life. His lifestyle. And we see that, as I said, as the natural outgrowth of having been blessed. The relationship of being a man of God then means that he lives as a man of God. His being a man of God flows from him. He has to do what it has to do with what guides his thinking, his decision-making process. How does he decide from moment to moment what he does? And the question then, does he do it based on the Word of God? His relationship? Or does he do it based on the Word of the world? What everybody else says. There's an interesting phrase here. It says that the man of God meditates on the law, which means the Word of God. The law here is to the entire Scriptures and all of its direction for life. And it says he does so day and night. Now, what does that mean? Does the psalmist say that the man of God ought to be doing nothing 24/7? But reading Scripture, memorizing Scripture, thinking about God, nothing else? Does it in fact mean the individual who has more verses memorized or reads more chapters every week is therefore then automatically going to be a more blessed person? Well, consider the context. The psalmist is talking about how he lives as a happy man or a blessed man. I wonder, have you ever stopped and thought at the end of any particular day and ask yourself the question, now how many decisions did I make today? How many times did I stop and say, now what should I do here? And what should I do here? In fact, most of the decisions that you made every day, you probably never even realized you made a decision. Just did it. What are those decisions based on? How is it that you arrived at what you decided to do at all of those different times during the day? What reference do you use when you react to every situation? The man of God does not use the wisdom of the world, rather that of God. To do that, you must have the Word of God in your heart. You must be so steeped in what God's direction is, what the message of God is, that you will automatically apply in your life before you've even stopped to think about it. The way you think, the decisions that you make when you don't even stop to think before you make them are based on what's ingrained in your heart. Remember the words of Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16, a verse that we like to quote about the inspiration of Scripture, but what it actually says, that the Word of God is inspired so that the man of God is equipped for living his life. Now, certainly that means something about studying the Word of God memorizing the scriptures as you are able to. We need to know the Word of God. But the emphasis is not even so much on how much of scripture that you can recite or that you've read on a regular basis. But the psalmist is saying his delight in the law is that he seeks after it. That's the important thing. He has a desire for the law of God. What is really important to you? What are the things that you make sure that you do not miss out no matter what? That which is really important to you, that which you take delight in, says the man of God takes delight in the law of God, which is to say he takes delight in God. Studying scripture, hearing God's word from the pulpit, meeting with God's people, is not something out of necessity or requirement for the man of God. It's there because of his delightful desire of God. Again, because there is that relationship. You know, I love the way the Heidelberg Catechism deals with this. And the question when it asks the description of what conversion is, Catechism doesn't then go on and say, well, a converted person, he stops doing and gives a whole long list of things. And an unconverted person, he still does and he gives a whole long. It just simply says that if you love the Lord, you will hate sin. And you will love righteousness. There's a commitment. It's based on this word, life is pursued. And the happiness of being in God is realized. Now, all of this learning and instilling of the law of God and identifying what is wrong with the philosophy of the world is meaningless if it is not applied. And so the psalmist most certainly does clearly, and in a very specific way, talk about what you must not do on the one hand and what you must do on the other hand. There's a typical use of Hebrew poetry here in this psalm. And the way that is used here is that by contrasting, and in an ever-increasing sort of way, contrasting the negative and the positive. And so the negative is, he walks not in the counsel of the wicked. You, as the people of God, do not determine what is right or wrong based on what the world thinks. Now that means something. You do not wear the clothes that the fashion world tells you, or even your friends at school might tell you that that's the way to dress. You do not pursue the male-female relationships based on what everybody else is doing. You do not make material wealth your God as the world does. We can go on. Secondly, the man of God does not stand in the way of sinners. Where you stand is where you plant yourself. The man of God does not plant himself. He does not put himself in the category of sinners in the sense of his ideology, how he thinks. It seems to me that we are not clear enough, anywhere near enough, to see the distinction between how believers think in terms of God's direction in life and how unbelievers think in terms of fundamental principles of life. Where do you stand on these issues? Thirdly, the man of God does not sit in the seat of scoffers. Now, a scoffer is someone who ridicules. In this case, he is someone who ridicules God. Now, we do not believe that we ought to withdraw from the world and be hermits or live in isolation. But if you spend time, if you make your friendships, if you have your everyday life situation discussions constantly with those who scoff at God, that will have tremendous effect on you in your life. Here's the point. And making these contacts and living your life according to not what the blessed man who knows God does. It is not what the man, what makes the man of God happy. By contrast, he does the things in life by applying the word of God in his life, not just where you get theology from, not just that which happens to do something for a little part of your life, not just that which is something when it's convenient and nothing else got in the way, but where, if you will, to use the phrase, where the rubber hits the road, where you live your life. It's the Word of God, because he is the man of God, blessed by God, is applied. Does living our life have anything to do with being happy? Living a present life? Of course it does. Of course it does. But you must understand that, first of all, it must flow out of an unmerited, unearned grace of God. The work of God alone in you, that you know him. And from that perspective, you seek to enjoy that relationship in your life. It comes from God, not from good works. Good works are the result of it. The sense that I trust, I hope you are beginning to receive from the psalmist, whose words are an inspired word of God, are these two things, or at least these two things. First, the very essence of who you are, created in the image of God, is that ultimate satisfaction. The enjoyment of life cannot be found apart from God. You know, here's the challenge, and it's a challenge to every one of us. If there is anything, I don't care what it is, if there is anything in your life which you would put before God, anything in which you would take delight in more so than you do in God, then you do not know God, you do not have any delight in him. When your delight is truly in the law of God, that is to say, in God, through Jesus Christ, then with God, there is blessedness, true happiness. Secondly, having that relationship, that satisfaction, has to do with all of life. Not just something we do a few moments every day or on the Lord's Day, even if we do it there. It's about life. The man of God is blessed. Period. Central to being a Christian has to do with taking true delight, seeking after such a relationship. The happiness, the state of being blessed, which the psalmist speaks about, obviously does not mean that all of life just then is supposed to be smiles and pleasantness, pie in the sky by and by. Not at all. Sometimes the person who knows God, or the person I should say that God knows him, the person who is truly blessed and has happiness to the full of sense of that, is someone who is in the midst of tears and heartache. You know what I'm talking about. Many have dealt and are dealing with tremendous heartache. But if anyone has the basis and knows how to enjoy life that is being blessed by God because God knows you, then you who know the Lord have happiness. The world wonders, and I think all too often we've bought into that. The world wonders, how is it possible to be a man of God, a believer, a Christian, and still enjoy life? I mean, that takes all the fun out of it, right? Sad to say, all too often by both believers and unbelievers, those two things, being a man of God and living a happy life, are seen in contrast. The psalmist says to you this morning that not only is it possible to be faithful to God, to truly know Him and to follow His Word, and at the same time to live life to the fullest and enjoy it as God has intended you to enjoy it. Yes, even in those days in the midst of tears. The Word of God says to you that life is enjoyable because and ultimately only way that life is enjoyable is because you are blessed by God.